Okay, right. What's up, Misfits? Welcome back to the Misfit Mindset Podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys here. And I'm so excited to just explore this topic that we're going to be talking about. So today we're talking about embracing your misfit identity. I know a lot of the times when people come across some of the stuff that I do, some of the content that I make, they always ask, where is the misfit coming from? So I'm going to explain that to you. Then I'm going to explain why maybe you should join me and become a misfit, okay? So what inspired the whole idea of being a misfit and starting like a misfit movement is Romans 12, 2, which says, be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? Do not be conformed to the ways of this world, meaning the standard that the world has, the standard that most people live by, the standards that the average of people on earth live by, do not follow that. Do not conform to that. But instead be transformed by your mind. And then I begin to look into mindset and begin to learn how everything in life starts from inside of you. You cannot want to change the world until you change yourself. When I began to look at and study things like the 12 laws of the universe, it became so obvious that a lot of life, your problems, your issues, is just based on your perception. Everything is based on how you see it, what you believe to be the truth, what you have convinced yourself that life is or life isn't, what love looks like, what love doesn't look like, what friendship looks like, what friendship doesn't look like, how you interpret other people's actions based on what's happened to you in the past. All of these things are usually just projections. So really understanding that my mindset needs shifting. The way I see life needs shifting. My goals need shifting. My priority needs shifting. Who I want to be, my identity needs a shift. Because right now, I'm following what everybody else thinks. I'm following what the world thinks. And if you know anything about the world is unhappy. People are unhappy. People are scared and anxious and depressed. And the way that they're living their lives and the results that they're getting, that's not what I want for my life. That's not what I want for my life. And if that's not what I want for my life, then why am I following their blueprint? What people think is normal, what people think is the right thing to do. You go to school, you get a job, you get married, you buy a house, you retire. So why are people still unhappy? Why are people still depressed if this is so perfect, if this works? I needed to change my mindset, right? I needed a renewal of my mind. Excuse me. I didn't put my phone on silent. So that verse literally started shifting so much for me. Shifting so many things for me. I think the idea, and I wrote about this in the blog post that I published this week, the idea that money is one of the most important things and all your life's decisions should be based on how much money you have. When I started renewing my mind based on God's word, based on the scripture, based on a higher kingdom, a kingdom that is unseen and not materialistic, I realized that people are slave to money. People are slave to cash. People are slaves to numbers in their account. And they haven't yet come to the understanding that money serves you, you don't serve money. You know, the whole thing about man makes the money, money doesn't make the man. So we end up idolizing these broken, hurting, depressed people envying their lives when you don't even know that your life may be better than them with less than what they have, because the true things in life that matter are not the things that can be destroyed, that can be stolen. Relationships, love, passion. These things are things that I feel like when I begin to cultivate them, take my time with them, study them, build them, I'm happier. I feel like I'm doing something. I feel like I have a reason to wake up in the morning. It blows my mind. And I know, always listening to the example about Michael Jackson, I know my pastor used to love to talk about this example so much, but it's the idea that he had so much money. He had an amusement park in his backyard, man. So much money. But he was still paying to be able to sleep. And what can we learn from that? The idea that no amount of money buys peace. And I'm talking about these things because I'm beginning to explain what it means to have the mindset of a misfit in a world where everybody is just based on things, based on how things look, based on status, chasing things that really don't have any meaning. They really don't have much value in the long run. When you begin to, let's go back to Michael Jackson, but actually, yeah, let's go back to Michael Jackson first, right? He couldn't buy peace. He could not buy peace. He died just trying to be able to rest. What's the point of having a life like that? And I feel like that's, I use that example also because that's the peak of superstardom, right? That's the peak of being financially blessed. When I work with people, when I do my mentorships and my coaching calls, I really try and work this mindset. Not that you shouldn't love money. That you shouldn't want to attain money, right? Because we need it to live. But the fact that money isn't a blessing like that, if you really think about it. A lot of people take the time that they have with the creator of the universe to sit down and say, can I have some money? You can ask him for anything. You could ask him for absolutely anything. And you ask for money. That is not a misfit mindset. Understanding that when you chase your purpose and the meaning of your life and your calling and what you're good at, what your talent is, what your gifting is, when you serve people and serve God, or rather serve God through serving people, money will come to you. Understanding the laws of the universe, one of them is the law of compensation. If you are of service, you will be compensated. And then going higher than this, understanding that in some realms, you can even choose the level of compensation you get, but it's also based on what you believe is possible. There are barbers who can't pay their bills, but there's also barbers who make six figures. It's the same talent. It's the same gift, right? I need us to be able to work this mindset. So what is being a misfit? Being a misfit is not valuing the things that other people make you believe is valuable. Time is valuable. We're not chasing money. In fact, we're trying to get back our time. Time to be with your children. Time to spend with the creator of the universe, God, our Father. That is what is valuable. Right? That's what nobody can buy from you. Nobody can steal it from you. Being a misfit, apart from these things, is also understanding that your life is precious. It means something. You cannot afford to be so disrespectful to the one who created you as to waste your life, spending your life chasing passions, chasing whims and what would I even call it? What's even the right word for it? Let me look here. It was actually in one of the coaching sessions I did. I wrote it down. Excuse me, where did I write this down? Yes, I think the word I might use for it is desires. And what do I mean by that? All of us have different things we want that are not good for us. You want that man or that woman that really is not good for you. You want an extra slice of cake when really it's not good for you. Lord. You may want to drink and it's killing you. You may want to smoke. There's so many things that you may want to do, but in the long run are destroying you. You cannot afford to just endlessly chase these desires, thinking that at the end of it, you're going to find peace and happiness and fulfillment. That's not where it is. That's not where it stays. Understand that if you live your life a slave to all of your cravings, you'll get a slave's wage. Nothing but death. You must live a life of discipline. And that doesn't come easy. But living a life of discipline means that I want this, but I cannot have this. Not now, anyway. My body doesn't get to decide what I do. If I eat some more when I really shouldn't be eating. If I sleep in when I really should be waking up. You're not just a slave, just in the back seat of life. You get to decide. You take back that control. And this is why I just absolutely am in love. Number one, with Christ and with what he did. And also with the teachings of dying with him and being resurrected again as a new creation. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Our old self, which was a slave to our lusts, which was a slave to our flesh. And then our new self, our higher selves, our divine, the divine version of ourselves in Christ, now gets to be alive. And to be free in him. Meaning, I don't just have to follow every whim. I don't have to just, I'm not powerless. You know what I mean? Fear doesn't have to control me. Depression doesn't have to control me. Anxiety doesn't have to control me. Not that these things don't come up, but it's that I'm able to fight now with the freedom I've been given in Christ. There's a time when I used to have these depressions and these anxieties and I could not fight back. And I thought, I'm just a victim to this life. Like, I'm just a victim to these feelings. I'm just a victim to these desires. But I'm not. I'm a worthy opponent to my flesh. Okay. Also, apart from all of that, is my strong conviction that in life, you will not make any sort of lasting impression on the world if you do not embrace being a misfit. If you are not willing to be ridiculed, if you're not willing to be laughed at, even mocked, if you're not willing to have people look at you like you're crazy, then you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You are here to fill in the numbers of the world. And I think that's okay. You know, if you want to just get in and get out of life, that's fine. But if you're somebody who knows I'm here for more, I want to do more, I know that my life means something, my life is greater, you must embrace what it means to be a misfit. If everybody's going left and you decide to go right, don't you think one person's going to be like, you idiot, why are you going right? Can't you see us all going left? And then because most of those people are followers, the other ones will start laughing too, start mocking too. And in that moment, when you know I'm on the right path, actually, literally, I'm on the right path, they're on the wrong path. But it's only you going down that path. Everybody else is going the other side. What will you do? Does your discipline kick in? Does your ability to say, I want to fit in, but I'm not going to, because there's a price I have to pay for the life I want to live? There's a few people I was actually reading about in history that I would definitely consider to be misfits. definitely consider these guys to be misfits. And there's a few of them, but definitely number one that I would think about is Miss Coco Chanel, honey. Miss Coco Chanel. This woman was completely a misfit. And in being a misfit, she was able to be a trendsetter. At that time, women had very strict ideas of clothing, and so did men. And then here she comes with her ideas like, actually, how about we change this? How about we make things more androgynous? Yeah. How about we put women in some trousers? You know what I mean? That was completely, people weren't even thinking about that at that time. People had little pearls. She decides, no, let's make it more dressy. Let's make it more flamboyant. And now everybody's Chanel this, Chanel that. When you go to these luxury apartments, don't you see these Chanel prints? But imagine, though, if she didn't want to defy society's expectations for how women should look. She was very much like, no. I just want to fit in. I don't want to make a splash. But she had this desire and she had these ideas. But she wanted to just be like everybody else. She took that risk. She had some people that didn't like it. But guess what? She also had people that did like it. And most importantly, she liked it. Now let's move on from Miss Coco Chanel, the legend, right? Let's go down to some science. Miss Marie Curie. Miss Marie Curie, the scientist. At that time, there wasn't many women doing what she was doing. She was in the scientific community, right? It was male dominated. Men weren't out here thinking, oh yeah, women are just as smart as us. No. But she went in, she defied all expectations, and she basically even sacrificed her life so that we may know as much as we know about radiation today. She was also a wife, also a mother, but she gave everything because she loved what she was doing and she wasn't willing to listen to any man talk down to her, to any scientific organization question her work. She stood 10 toes deep. That's a misfit mindset, to be sure of yourself, to not allow the status quo to get in your way. If everybody else wants to walk left, God bless you, enjoy the ride. But as for me, I know where I'm going. I know the path God has given me. And you, not anybody, not your mom, not your great-grandchild, is going to make me question where I'm going and what I've been promised. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She became the first woman to win a Nobel Prize. The first woman to win a Nobel Prize when there was all this skepticism from other scientists, from media outlets, criticizing her. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about someone else. And just so the men aren't like, oh, you're only talking about the women. We can name so many more people. We can name Nelson Mandela, of course, for what he did. But I was thinking about talking more about him, but one person I do really want to talk about is Leonardo da Vinci. Because everybody is in love with what he does now, right? Well, what he did now, right? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Mona Lisa, the Last Supper. They're obsessed with him, with his art, calling him a legend. But at the time, some people were like looking at him sideways. Some people were like, this guy is a bit weird. He's a bit unorthodox in the way he paints and the way he conducts his research to be able to paint. You have to understand that anybody who made a splash at their time, most times they were not recognized. At the time, most times people were questioning them, people were hating on them, people were talking down to them, people were criticizing them. And it's only years later when people begin to understand, no, they knew what they were doing. Now, they were ahead of their time. Be not conformed to the standards of this world. What is the standard of where you are? Don't conform to it. Transform yourself, renew your mind, shake that off. Oh, I can't do this because, shake that off. Well, my family's never, shake that off. Well, I'm just, shake that off. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. If you can see it, you can do it. In my coaching sessions, I get people to visualize. I take them through guided visualizations and I explain to them that if you can see it, it can be done. Because I never describe what you visualize. I prompt you. Whatever you saw, your mind created it. And the question is, why did your mind create that? When I say dream about your best life or envision your best life, why is that specifically your best life? Why did your brain choose that? Now, what's stopping you from believing you can get there? What's stopping you from believing that the Lord doesn't also want that life for you? Shake that off. Shake it off. This life is short, but it's also long. Life is short, but life is also long. It's too short to care about what people think. And it's too long to be unhappy. You have to decide for yourself where you are going. begin to think and understand where you are coming from. And when I say you, I don't just mean the person listening to this. I mean, where is your family coming from? Where are your ancestors coming from? When you are fighting for your life, you're not just fighting for your life. You're fighting for your descendants' life. You are one part of a very big puzzle, and you have the responsibility to change the destiny of your lineage. Were people drug addicts? Were people addicted to different substances and alcohol and bad marriages and abuse, sexual trauma? Come on, change your mind. Renew it. Because if you don't actively start to unlearn those things, if you don't actively start to heal, you will repeat it. You will repeat it because you don't know any better. You don't know any different. We can only do what we have seen. Being not conformed to the standards of this world, also meaning don't conform to the standards of your family. Unless your family's who exactly you want to be like. You want their lives. You want their marriages. You want their finances. But if not, don't conform. Do your drink? Stop. Do your party 24/7? Stop. Do your gossip? Stop. Don't conform. Renew your mind. Listen to me. If you don't come from a healthy family needs to come from you. And it doesn't come from you because you didn't like the way your mother spoke to you. It doesn't come from you simply because you thought your dad was abusive. It comes from you because you did the work, because you addressed your triggers. If you were neglected, for example, you had ways of coping with that as a child that followed you into adulthood. And if you don't take a look at it, if you don't face it, and you keep running like everybody else in this world, running from pain, running from trauma, you don't be brave and look at what happened to you as a child, look at what happened to you as a teenager, then you will make decisions out of pain. And how can you make decisions out of pain and accept to feel joy in the end? It's not how it works. You can't make decisions running from things and think that those things won't catch up to you in the end. It's not easy to afford a therapist, no. They're quite expensive, trust me, I know. But you can begin to teach yourself things. We have the internet, for goodness sakes. You have no excuse. You can begin to learn different techniques of dealing with things. What did you go through? Begin to look online for ways to deal with that. There's always free seminars. There's always free talks from licensed therapists who are also trying to get exposure. So they give off all this information. You see what I mean? You're not that person who wants to go to therapy. Okay, get a coach. Get a coach. Get a relationship coach. Get a communication coach. Get a business coach. You have no excuse. You're investing in what's outside of you. New shoes, new clothing, new wig, new hair, new makeup, new haircut, new this, new that, same person. Same issues. Same trauma. Same pain. What the hell is the point? What's the point? if you are going to spend 10 years changing what you look like, but after all that, you're the same person, you wasted 10 years, man. Come and see me in 5 years. You'll be like, oh, you still look the same, but my words will be different. What I speak about will be different. What's going on in my life will be different. How I'm spending my time will be different. Don't be that person that stayed the same. Don't be that person who, after 3 years, is still complaining about being poor, about being broke, about not having any money. But you've never sat down to think, yo, how can I grow my money? I have live sessions that I do on TikTok. I want to start doing them on more different social media platforms. And we've seen healings on there, man. Live, real-time healings. I've seen deliverances from demons and spirits. And I've also prayed for people for their finances. I've heard amazing testimonies of people starting businesses afterwards, and the business is doing well, but I've been praying for people's finances. And then there's one time the Lord was telling me, whilst I was even praying for someone, like, this person doesn't need prayer. They don't need prayer. They need knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. If you pray and you try and do all these things, you try and manifest, you try and do all this spiritual stuff, but you yourself, you haven't renewed your mind. You're the same person. The old man hasn't passed away. Nothing is new. Guess what? You'll get a new job. You do the same thing. You increase your income. You also increase your expenses. Nothing changes. You say, why am I running in circles? Why are you the same person? A different person would be in a different circle. But if you're running in the same circles, it's because you're the same person. Honey, the cycle is showing you something that you don't want to look at. Therefore, it's manifesting in the physical. That cycle that you're seeing with your life is a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem. What haven't you changed? What haven't you addressed? What are you running from that's coming back to you? The depiction of a snake eating its own tail. You will never catch it. It will continue. The cycle breaks when the snake decides, I'm not going to eat my tail. So, welcome in. Welcome, misfit. Welcome home. It's time to get real. It's time to change. It's time to kill the old version of yourself. And the reason I say kill and not change and not suppress and not any of these things is because he wants to live. She wants to live. The old version of yourself that's anxious, that's depressed, that's afraid, that's lazy, that procrastinates, they want to live. They want to survive. They want to see the day. They want to take control of your body. The old version of yourself that wants to chase people that don't love you, that wants to be in places you're not meant to be at, that person wants to take control of your vessel. But you have to take control. And you have to get rid of that person. And be reborn, be renewed, be restored, revitalized. And completely change your thought process. Change the way that you reason. Change the ways that you see things. There's a verse here that I shared with one of my mentorship groups, and it's James 1:14-15. And essentially what James says is that each person is led away by their own desires, by their flesh's own desires, to conceive sin. And I believe it says sin when it's fully a desire to conceive lust or something, and then when it's fully born, it conceives sin, and sin when full grown ends to death. I want to explain something. Sin means missing the mark, right? When people hear sin, they tend to think very, very spiritual things, and that's fine. But on the basic level, sin is missing the mark. You said, I'm going to wake up 5 a.m. You woke up at 8. You missed the mark. I'm going to fast today. I'm not going to eat all that food. I'm doing an intermittent fast for weight loss. Then you overate. You sinned against yourself. You missed your own mark. And when that's fully grown, it gives birth to death. And I like to think that doesn't just mean death, a spiritual death, but sometimes it's the death of dreams, man. You couldn't hold it together. You kept missing the mark. You kept doing things you knew you shouldn't be doing. You weren't disciplined. You didn't focus. Your dream died. Your business died. It gave birth to death. Man, you couldn't have any emotional control. You kept having outbursts. A way that I like to say is you kept bleeding on your partner. Instead of going to the hospital, going to fix that part of yourself, you bled all this pain onto your loved one and expected them to heal you. And that pain, that sin, when it's fully grown, led to death. That relationship died. Because you can't put yourself together and understand that you are responsible for your emotions. Nobody can make you act out of character. Nobody can make you anything. If somebody does something to you and you react a certain way, it's because it triggered something that was already on the inside of you. And that's facts. So, this is the end of the podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. What I'm trying to say is, join me on this misfit journey. Changing ourselves, changing our lives, changing the way we see things, changing the way that we approach life. And being willing to stand against the crowd for things that matter more than what the world has told us. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe or follow the page for the podcast. Also, visit my website and subscribe to my newsletter. I share my weekly thoughts on there. And then I also give you a few links for other things like the podcast, let you know what events I may be at and what events I may be doing myself. So you really get to stay within our community. I'm also starting a Misfit of the Month award. So if you know anybody who you truly believe is standing in their authenticity, is not allowing the world's standards to get to them, but they are shining, they are overcoming their traumas, their pain, whatever it may be, then please go ahead and nominate that person. The link will be in the description or either on my website. So definitely go check that out. If you want to share your misfit story with us, then share it and it may end up on our newsletter, right? So until next week, misfits, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Bye.